Slowly, friend, as our anger and hurt over our abuse dovetails with the gospel and we really learn the heart of God, we find, to change the metaphor, that anger dissipates. It just begins to float away because we have a God now who has a listening heart, who does not condemn, who is open to all our pain, who shares it with us, and reveals that he is transforming the effects of our abuse and hurt and disappointment and defeat into a revelation of himself, my friends. That's what we're learning. Colin Cook here, my friends. And this is how it happens with a new series, I Believe But. And what we believe is, I believe, but I'm mad with God. Now, when you're sharing all this hurt and anger with God, my friend, and when you know God is listening and he is not accusing, when you know that he too has been angry and he took all the anger upon himself in the person of his son so that he didn't spill it all over the world, when you know there is a tender heart towards God, towards you in God, there is a tender heart in God towards you, when you know all that, then there develops something else in the sharing of this anger, and it is trust. Trust, my friends. The way to express and share anger towards God is in the context of trust. It's a paradox, really, because one might say, how can you be angry if you're trusting? But the truth is, you cannot be truly redemptively angry. That is, you cannot be truly angry with God if you don't trust him. You have to believe that he's hearing you. You have to believe that he understands. You have to believe that he has compassion, that he's not judging you. You have to believe that there is no condemnation in his presence. I mean, just think of it between two people. How does creative, constructive anger work? Only where there is a relationship of trust, where maybe a married couple are angry with each other, but they trust each other on the basic level. They have not lost trust. When anger is expressed that has lost trust, it usually ends in divorce. But trust is that element that says, I'm mad with my spouse right now, I'm mad with my partner, I'm mad with my friend, but I know he will understand in the long run when I make it clear to him. And so, in the context of trust, anger is therapeutic. In the context of trust, anger is therapeutic. So we're back to those notes you took of all the hurt that you felt and all the disappointment in God that he was not there for you in your abuse or has not come through for you in all the needs you've had, or that your addiction is still with you and you keep failing and your sinful nature or your human nature seems too big for you, too great, too overpowering, and you can't master it. Now, you see, there's trust. You know God is not condemning you for your human nature. You know God is not condemning you for your defeats and failures. You know God has a heart of compassion. He is there to help and aid and to be with you and to comfort you. Now this brings this trust, knowing that God is with you in sharing all of this hurt and anger. This brings another dynamic. The trust element, my friend, brings another dynamic. What is it? The awareness that if God has forgiven you and God is not charging you with guilt and God has taken his own anger upon himself and propitiated it, that is, appeased it, when you know that, then there is the presence of an awareness that God was there all the time suffering your hurt with you. If God has a forgiving heart, like I have described, if God has a nature that will take judgment upon himself instead of inflicting it upon the world, then that God of ours has a very understanding heart, a listening heart, a heart of compassion, a heart that wants to enter into our pain. And when you share the pain that you are having or have had, now you know that God wants to share it with you. This is an awesome reality for you. All our griefs and sorrows he bore. Oh my goodness, this verse suddenly comes alive. Isaiah 53. The suffering servant described there, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Surely, verse 4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And so this new awareness of God, this new sense of his compassion, of his love that wants to enter into our pain, gives us a new confidence. And we begin to realize that God was sharing the pain and the sorrow and the abuse that we went through at that time. Now, we don't get the answer, as I said, well, why didn't you stop it, Lord? But we get the awareness, the satisfaction that he was there suffering it with us. And that leads us to a new realization. If God was with me in that pain, and if he is with me now in all my disappointments and in all the defeats I go through, when I seek to overcome a temptation and my addiction breaks in and I fail yet again, if he's with me in all of that, then could it not be that there is grace and there is love and there is mercy right alongside all of the pain and all of the sorrow and hurt and anger and abuse? Could it be that if I turn my eye in the other direction, I can see and know that something else is going on? Yes, indeed, I think it could be, and in fact it is. You know, there's a verse in Romans chapter 11 that never ceases to awe-inspire me. It's verse 32 of chapter 11. And it's really a summary, by the way, of everything that Paul has talked about right at the beginning of the book of Romans, that God's wrath is revealed because men suppress the truth, and as a result, he hands them over to the things that they choose. And if we misread Romans chapter 1, we think, oh, this is the wrath of God upon the world where he's sending them to perdition and hell. No, not if you read the summary of Romans chapter 1, which is in Romans chapter 11, verse 32. Listen to it. For God has committed them all, that is all the world, all of us, God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. Now that's incredible, because it says that God has handed people over, committed, and by the way, there's a verse in Galatians as well about this, in chapter 3, verse 22, where it says, but the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now you see, committed in verse 11 of Romans 11, verse 32, the word committed is the same or parallel with the word confined verse 22 of Galatians. And so, this is really talking about imprisonment. He has committed us to prison. He has confined us. Some translations put the word imprisoned there. God has imprisoned us in disobedience, that is, in sin. He's imprisoned us in that. We chose sin. We chose evil instead of God. We suppressed him, and so God said in his loving wrath, I'm going to commit you and consign you and imprison you to sin. That's wrath, you see, handing people over to sin. But for what purpose? To send them to hell because he hates them, he's finished with them, he's wiping his hands of them? No, but that he might have mercy on all. But how does that work? Well, when God hands us over to the powers of the world, when God lets the world reign in its evil and its harm and its hurt, something happens. And what happens, my friends, is that the pain and the hurt leaves us feeling so helpless that we need the mighty arm of a comforting God. And in our childhood way, we call out to Jesus, or we call out to our Father, and we hear and get comfort. I have worked with many people over the years who talk about their childhood abuse, but they often say that they knew Jesus was there. They saw him in the light, in the crack, in the door of the cell door. They saw him in little patterns and places. Angels came into the room. They saw him in ways that would seem very, very childish to us, but they really were very, very childlike. You see, God uses our pain to draw him to himself, to draw us to himself. No one should inflict pain on another in order to draw that person to God. That is a sin. But God takes advantage of the evil that Satan inflicts upon the world and says, I will bring grace through it, and I will change the effect of this thing. As you're writing down all your issues of anger towards God, you might well find that it was these very issues that led to the heart of the Father. And so then we begin to take a new look at our pain and our hurt and sorrow, and we say, oh dear God, I see now that I can let go of my anger towards you, because through these pains and hurts and abuses, I found you. If you're finding this broadcast a blessing to your soul, my friends, if in fact your faith is being trained in how to believe, because that's what this is all about, this program, how it happens, how to believe, then perhaps you could show your appreciation to our God and appreciation to this program by becoming a partner. Perhaps you've been listening for some months, maybe a few years, or just a few weeks, and you think, hey, this is something I can support. If you'd like to become a partner, what you do is simply send your check to support the program to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Any amount you like, $25, $30, $50, $10, or $100, $200, or $5. Whatever works for you, my friends. And you can take care of the donation, if you like, by PayPal. Simply go to faithquestradio.com. That's our website where you can hear these radio broadcasts any time of the day or night. And there you will see the donation button, and you go to that, and you will find the PayPal icon. Make your donation there, faithquestradio.com. If you'd like to take care of your donation by credit card or debit card, simply call me at 303-738-8694 and tell me what amount you want me to take off. 303-738-8694. These donations are tax deductible, my friends. I will send you a receipt at the beginning of the new year. Thank you so much for your support, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio, and God bless.